Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now call in for anyone with connections to the Napa area where the earthquake took place in California yesterday. Call in and tell us what you know in terms of a damage assessment or what's happening there. And on a larger basis, anybody with connections to California and the idea that the big one could strike at any time. How do Californians live with that knowledge? The 6.0 earthquake has been reported as the biggest in 25 years since a big one was there in 1989. If you have ties to the Napa area, to the San Francisco Bay Area, even Southern California, how do you live and how do people there now live with that knowledge that the big one, greater than 6.0, could come at any time and turn life upside down? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call us if you have ties to Napa and can give us some kind of a damage report about any individual home or business that you know of, or if you just want to talk about being Californian and living with that thing always hanging over your head of the possibility of the big one at any time. Why do people stay? 212-433-WNYC. I once read a novel by Tom Robbins, which included, you know, a sort of novelistic history of after the early 20th century San Francisco earthquake, that famous big earthquake, and how irrational it was that people stayed. Why didn't they just evacuate the city? Well, I know that's not how it works, especially when something is your home. But why didn't they just evacuate the city? Why do people go to California knowing that this might happen? Why do they stay? 212-433-9692. And, of course, Napa Valley, best known for its wine. The 800 or so wineries in the area have reported surprisingly little damage from Sunday's major quake. And maybe that means they use strong bottles. I don't know. Do they use kinds of wine bottles that are built to be earthquake resistant, just like buildings there are built to be earthquake resistant? 212-433-WNYC, if you know anything about earthquake resistant wine bottle design, if that exists. 212-433-9692. And we'll take your California calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Okay, our lines are full. We'll talk to you Californian expats or anyone else with ties to the area of Napa or the Bay Area or anywhere else there that might experience a big earthquake. What can you report about the damage from yesterday in particular? Tell us any micro story that you want to, no matter how small, from somebody's basement or whatever. And tell us, how do you live with the big one hanging over your head as an eternal possibility? Here's a little non-damage report on our comments page. Ava from Sausalito writes that she lives on a sailboat, so she didn't feel anything. She writes, before buying the boat, she even checked her part of the bay to make sure it would be largely unaffected by earthquakes. She writes, I guess there is an upside to being forced out of the rental market on shore. Eli and Red Banks, you're on WNYC. Oh, Red Bank, hi. You're on WNYC.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I was doing AmeriCorps this past year in San Jose, California, which is about an hour train ride from San Francisco. And I found it so weird as being in the East Coaster that, like, no one really seemed that concerned about earthquakes or, like, the big one at all. And they were actually, like, asking me sort of about, like, oh, how do you deal with snow? Like, it was the biggest thing in the world. But, like, the concept to me of the ground moving was, like, terrifying. And they just seemed to be very, like, okay with it.
Is that because, in their experience, the ground never moved that much?
I probably think so, that it was just, like, going to be such a rare occurrence. Like, when the actual big one happens, they would be terrified, but I guess it was just, like, such a remote possibility that would happen that they weren't concerned all the time with it. Like, it was never, like, a huge issue or anything, or, like, people never really brought it up or talked about it, from my experience.
Thank you very much. Alina, or is it Alina in
Alina.
Larchmont? Alina. Hi, Alina.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in California, lived through several in L.A., lived through several big ones in the 1970s, moved a few days before in London before the 1994 huge one happened that on my parents' street, two houses collapsed and seven people died. But now I'm a New Yorker. And I got to say, I never get used to it. Some people say, I thought earthquakes were incredibly frightening, but it would never occur to me to move out because of that, because it just feels like it's the luck of the draw. You can get killed in a hurricane here. You can get killed in a tornado. And what the previous caller said is true. My parents are always like, what are you doing with the snow? How do you get out of the house? You know, so it's like I said, when they
But they're different, aren't they? I mean, snow is just snow. It piles up.
I know that,
and
but
maybe
if you lived in California or if you lived in a place that never had snow, I'm not saying people see it as serious as an earthquake.
And if you live right on the ocean, let's say, you know, and you don't have your house on good enough stilts or otherwise fortified, maybe that's similar with respect to hurricanes and other coastal storms. But in California, it's sort of like anywhere, right?
Well, I know. I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but I'm saying when you, you know, people, I think earthquakes are scary and you can't have warning like you can have hurricanes or tornadoes. That's a difference, too.
Yes.
But I think, like, my parents view it as it's something you put up with. I remember years ago there was a big earthquake and people said, yeah, we get these once in a while, but we got great weather all the time. It was kind of like, yeah, we deal with it. But I do think they are very scary. I was terrified when they happened, and it took a long time after moving here when a truck rumbled by and the earth would slightly shake that I didn't think it was an earthquake. And, you know, got used to that you could put hang pictures above your bed in case they fell. You didn't do that in L.A., you know.
I guess not. So that's one of the ways that people adapt. Alina, thank you so much. Another comment from our website gives us a secondhand report from a friend in Berkeley from yesterday. It says, quote, here in Berkeley, we rocked and rolled with it for 10 to 15 seconds, exclamation point, like that's long for an earthquake. But the house flexed and laughed it off. I love this image of a house flexing and a house laughing something off. The house flexed and laughed it off like it was nothing. Good old wood frame house that's been here for 127 years. Writes that correspondent from Berkeley. Charlie in Pearl River, you're on WNYC. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, good morning. I was with the media back in 89 and was at Candlestick Park when that earthquake hit.
People don't know or don't remember, I remember watching that on television. It was the World Series.
Yes, I was at Candlestick Park. As I say, we had just done some shooting. I was outside the wall of the park and leaning against a car, and it seemed as though somebody was rocking the car. And, of course, you know, 8 or 9 seconds later, when the rolling stopped, they got it inside. There were thousands of fans inside the park, and a big cheer went up. But I turned to the audio guy, and I said, you know, it felt like, I said, was that a small one, 4 or 5? And he said, the audio guy is from San Francisco. He said, no, this was a huge one. But and then, of course, we saw the fire in the Embarcadero, you know, looking back at the city. But, yeah, the people do have a fatalistic attitude. There's no doubt about it. The newer buildings, we were in the Hyatt downtown. My room on the, I guess, 14th floor. When I finally got back the next morning, after, you know, filing stories and that sort of thing, only a lamp was down, but I decided to move across to Marin County to Sausalito, and on the way over the the Golden Gate Bridge, there was a pretty good-sized tremor, and that will scare you.
I guess so. Charlie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Darius in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Darius, you also were there for the 89 quake?
Yes, I was. I was living on Knob Hill in San Francisco for Loma Prieta, and there's nothing like being in a wooden house when it's smacking against the wooden houses on either side. So that was quite a quake. My point was that, yes, there is a certain amount of fatalism when you grow up in California, which I did, and you become an expert at earthquakes and rolling through them and judging the Richter scale ratings on them. And until you have one like Loma Prieta, you know, you have your flashlights, you have your anchor bolts on your bookcases and your earthquake kits with your gourmet food or whatever's in there. Mm-hmm. People are willing to make that trade-off to live in such a beautiful area, you know, but until you go through a big quake and really are struck with blackouts and damage and death, you know, it's you don't really think about it, you try not to think about
it. You can live in enough denial about the possibility. How...
Well,
Go ahead. You want to not use that word?
It's not necessarily denial, because some people have chainsaws in their basements, you know, ready to chop out their neighbors. Other people are aware of the fact that if you're downtown and you're caught in a big one, you're going to have 20 feet of broken glass and you're probably not going to survive it. It's just something you're aware of.
What are some of the other ways that people prepare their homes? You've talked about bolting your bookcases to the wall. You talked about having the chainsaw, God forbid. What else? One of the earlier callers said don't put pictures over your bed. Is that a standard California practice?
Yeah, that's probably you probably don't want anything that's going to fall on you, basically. They tell you to go stand in a doorway. That's California advice, and I did that during Loma Prieta and felt my whole building moving all around me. And it's, there's only so much you can do. Depending on the size of the quake, you know, you're either going to survive it or you're not.
Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. And here's Melissa calling from L.A. right now. Melissa, hi. Hello from New York.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. So you're a New Yorker originally, now living out there. Is that right?
Yeah, I just moved to Los Angeles a couple months ago, and I'm really freaked out about the earthquake, thinking that something could happen here, because I don't have any idea what to do. I need to look it up. I have no concept of what would happen. And I also think we just had a water main break, a big water main break on Sunset, millions of gallons of water spewing. And, you know, apparently that pipe was so old you could just rub on it and it would, you know, it came apart. You know, I think if we have an earthquake here, I just think there's going to be massive destruction. It's pretty concerning. But I moved here for a job, and I have to stay. This is where I work. You know, this is my job. So I guess I'm just hoping nothing happens.
And it is at least, you know, a once in a however many decades rare event that the big one comes. So there are probably bigger risks in your life to be sort of actively anxious about, right?
Right. And also, it's beautiful here. I mean, there's so many wonderful things about living here. The weather's perfect. It's gorgeous. Even on the freeway driving, it's gorgeous. There are a lot of great things about here. There are risks everywhere. But I definitely need to do some research, because I have no idea what to do.
Well, hang on, Melissa. Can we keep Melissa on and also add line 9? This is Marjorie, now from Red Bank in New Jersey, but originally from the Bay Area. And Marjorie, it sounds like you might have some advice for Melissa, being an L.A. newbie, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in New Jersey now, and I grew up here, lived in California for most of my life, and now I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first moved out there, I just was terrified, and you just learn to live with it. So I lived out there. I was there for the earthquake in 89, where the road collapsed. It was like a road, one road above the other, and they collapsed, and people were stuck in there. The Bay Bridge, part of that collapsed. And, I mean, it was just terrifying.
And that didn't give you a, like, PTSD complex about living there rather than getting used to it?
Yeah, but I have a little PTSD from Sandy. I live by the shore here, and, you know, people's houses were washed away, so... There was a fire in Oakland where they lost about 1,000 houses in the hills, too, when I was there. So I just think...
That was a couple of years later. Those fires were like 91, right?
Oh, I can't remember.
But just a few years after. Yeah, it was that time. I remember hearing about those fires.
So, you know, and I think, well, maybe disaster's following me. And then I think about people that live in war-torn countries, and what we've seen is nothing.
All right. Melissa, everybody lives with something.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you both for calling in, and thanks to all of you, California Connected, and for all our other segments today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good to be back after my week off, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.